naturally, me Lord, you are my guide. Show me the way. Show me the way, Lord. Show me the way. Show me the way, Lord. Won't you help me, Lord? You are my guide. Show me the way. Lord, I am your child. Oh, there's no mistake about it. I'm your child. Said I am, I'm down here, Lord, and I need your power. Show me the way. Show me the way, Lord. Show me. Show me the way, Lord. Show me the way. Said I am, I'm down here, Lord, and I need your power. Show me.
This morning. We're just trying to find out what's going on here because Rabbi Alex had sent me the message last week saying that he said if we, that's himself, could take the ministry this Sunday and we take 30 minutes Sunday school and song service and then we change it next week. But we just saw them that they're having their song service at the moment so, and the Sunday school. So we're just checking. Okay.
Received you. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed.
God bless you, saints. God bless you to the saints in Wolverhampton as well, Brother Alex and the saints there. It's good to join together with them today. Let's open our Bible. Thank you to musicians. Luke chapter 21. Let's get a thought from there for Sunday school this morning. Amen. And then we'll get into worship. And then we'll be glad to hear from Brother Alex this morning. May the Lord bless the ministry. That's our desire. We do have some slides here for the Sunday school. Luke chapter 21. Let's read 25 to 7. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars. And upon the earth distress of nations. Amen. With perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Let's just pray the Lord's blessing. Lord, may you help us now in our fellowship, Lord, upon this morning. You've given us grace to come once again to gather in your name as your people. And Father, we want to gather in the name of Jesus, because you know that's where the blessing is. We want to come to your provided place of worship upon this morning, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And won't you help us now, Lord? Bless your people. Bless them that have connected with us, even as we connect with them. Bless Brother Alex as he comes to minister. And help us in our Sunday school now, we ask. Pray for them that are still on the way. Be with your people. Pray for our children as they have their Sunday school. You bless them as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. God bless. Let's have a seat. So we'd like to have a look this morning at the oncoming storm. This is one of the really, really tremendous messages. If you have ever listened to it, if you don't have a message to listen to, go and listen to the oncoming storm. It's a really, really good message. You know, it really does speak to the situation of where things are. So just some current events. Jesus says that we'll see men's hearts failing for fear. Why? Because the sea and the waves are roaring. And you'll find Brother Ram speaks at the beginning of this message, and he actually speaks about Florida, and he speaks about the weather prophets and how they were prophesying of this great hurricane. And he speaks a lot of very good things inside of this message. And we see that. We just see this hurricane Helene that hit there. Now, why this was very interesting to me is we were 2 weeks before this, we were in that exact area. We passed through some of those towns when we were there. We stopped in the one town, and now when you see what that town is, you'll be shocked. And you say, wow. And you find these massive, massive storms. So Katrina, years back, I remember 2005, it was the big, big one that flooded New Orleans, and many people perished. And the reason they perished is they never listened to the weather prophets. You know, the prophet calls the forecasters the weather prophets. He says many people's lives have been saved by listening to the weather prophets. Yeah. But in New Orleans, they never listened. They said, we don't need to listen. We can stay at home. And the floodwaters came, and this one section of New Orleans is actually under sea level. It's got these levees, you know, these artificial walls of earth around. And this hurricane came and breached those walls. And all those people were stuck in their homes, and they got up into their attics. As the water rose and the water continued, and they were stuck in the attics and they drowned there. And many people perished for the simple reason that they didn't listen to the weather prophets. You know, the warnings were there, the forecasters, they could see something brewing. They could see where it was coming from. They could see where it was going. And they gave plenty of warning to the people to prepare to leave the area. Yeah. But people thought they knew better than the weather prophets. You know, people think like that. They say, we've always had storms. It's never flooded my home before. My grandpappy was here, and his grandpappy lived here. Nobody ever got flooded before. Be careful, because you're not living in days of before. These are extreme conditions we're living in, and we can see it from these storms. So Helene came and really, really knocked Florida, and then it moved up into North Carolina and to Tennessee, and it sat there. It got stalled between two high-pressure systems, and it put the rain. Some places had up to 30 inches of rain in a day. And it's in that area, it's all hills and valleys. So all the rain soaked in, and the place had already been soaked the week before from another storm. And all the water came, this deluge of water just pushed down. And the mudslides came down, and the water came into the valleys. And all of these towns in the valleys, that you know, these rivers, some of them went 30 feet. That's about almost 15 meters above the normal level. I mean, what chance do you have? This wall of water coming at you 15 meters, that's far higher than this building twice. Just full of trees and all these trees that had been knocked down and all this debris and just picking up all of this accumulation, then housing and roofing and cars and just coming down the valleys and just destroying everything in its path. They called it a thousand-year flood, and it's amazing because thousand-year floods are happening every year at the moment. It used to be once in a thousand years. Then they started changing things to this is a hundred-year event, and now these hundred-year events are happening all the time. You know, and you can see it. Things are getting extreme. Things are building up somewhere. This is a place in North Carolina called Chimney Rock. That's what it was before, all the businesses and the restaurants and all that, and that's what happened after. There wasn't a single building left. The only thing left was the foundations. And some of the foundations even had been ripped out. So you can just imagine what happened to these places, just completely. When it says in the days of Noah, They were eating and drinking, everything going, and suddenly the flood just took them. You know, these kind of things remind us of that, because we're living in the days of Noah. It's not going to be the world flooded by water, but there is coming something upon this earth. And you just have a look. I mean, what chance do you have when all of this stuff just gets washed and there's a huge amount of water and just pushed down through these valleys and your house is next to the river? I saw the one man, he was really crying. He wasn't so old, maybe in his 40s or so. To some people, they say, that's really old. But to us, he's not old if he knew 40. But this man, he was crying. He said he was in his house right by the river, and they just heard this roar, and they looked outside, and they saw this coming towards them, this absolute wall of timbers and waters meters high. And he says, me and my wife just took each other's hands, and the last thing she said was, I love you. And it bashed their house, and he survived, and still up to now, they never found her body. And Jesus says, one will be taken, you know, one will be left. It'll just be, these kind of things can come like that. Sudden destruction, like Jesus said. Then straight after that, now last week we have Hurricane Milton. So they're trying to clean up from Hurricane Helene, and they haven't even finished it. And now comes Hurricane Milton. At first they called it a 100-year storm. Now, in a week, you have a 1,000-year storm immediately followed by a 100-year storm. And this was a very unusual storm. Because storms, as far back as they can go, there's never been a hurricane form from the west, the Gulf of Mexico, and come across and hit Florida. They always come from here. No, they come up from here. But this one was such an unusual one. And they said, where is this thing coming from? Especially this late in the season, this late in the year. We don't expect these kind of things. But this one here now, we saw what it came. And as it hit Florida, here came the tornadoes. 10 tornadoes now came. Not only a storm surge, you know, pushing all this water and all the deluge of rain and the winds knocking everything down, but there came these tornadoes now and just whacked. And a lot of people died now because of these tornadoes. So you can understand when Jesus says men's hearts failing them for fear. You know, Jesus was very right when he said this. He says men's hearts failing them for fear. Because people will play with your mind. People will tell you these are just natural events. You know, this is just global warming. Yeah, we believe in climate change. But maybe the cause of the climate change, what the scientists say, is maybe different than what we believe the cause of the climate change is. These are signs of the end. These are birth pains. Now, these are things that as we get nearer and nearer to the end, to the birth of the kingdom, whenever a woman's in travail coming near to birth, the birth pains get more and more frequent and more severe. And we can see that happening now. Nobody can doubt it. In every aspect, if it's in politics, it's more severe. I mean, everything's just more corrupt. It's more divisive. If you bring it into nature, everything is more severe. If there's a drought these days, it's the worst drought in so many years. When it gets cold, it's the coldest that it's been for centuries. When it rains more than it has for 100 years. It's just signs of the times, these things, that these weather prophets, they can see it. You know, they may not be able to discern the hand of God in it, but Jesus said men's hearts failing them for fear. So in your mind, you might think and say, it's okay, things will be okay. But there's the voice of the sign. Yes. God has his voice in the winds, and yes. God has his voice in the storm. And you can see the world now, like Jesus said, they're feeling it inside of their souls. They're discerning that these things are not the way they should be. This is heading somewhere. Yeah, and people know that these are judgment signs, that these are leading somewhere. This is all heading to a climax. Things are building up, building up, building up. Where is it going to end? You know, so people inside of their soul, Brabham says that they like men walking past the graveyard whistling as if they're not scared. You know, when you find someone walking through the graveyard saying, me, I'm not scared. The reason he's whistling and doing that is because he's scared, but he's trying to hide that he's scared. Because there's a something inside of the soul that recognizes in these things that man has pushed God too far. Man's pushed God out, mocked God and his people and his word. And now we start to see payback time is coming. We start seeing that we're heading towards a climax. We're heading towards the end of all things. I put this the other day. Abraham says, God, we say, send Jesus quickly. Come, Lord Jesus. And now we see nature, he says, like the star that led them to Bethlehem, on the move again. Now we see nature on the move again. And when nature gets on the move like that, there's a reason that nature's on the move. Jesus said there'd be perplexity of time. What is perplexity? When you don't have an answer. You're perplexed. You're going to say, I don't know what you're going to do here. And so many people in those places are still perplexed. They're still stuck. The roads are washed out. There's no electricity. They say, how are we going to get to all of these people and repair all of this damage? People get perplexed. You find the American Emergency Fund, which is FEMA, the agency that helps in disasters, it's run out of money. You see, last week they said, we don't have any money to help people anymore. You say, what? It's perplexity. Then we find distress between the nations. Who ever thought in our lifetime, just here in Europe, we'd have a serious war going on where they're shooting serious missiles at each other and Russia's bombing and Ukraine is bombing back and yay. And it's going on. And then you see in the Middle East now, Israel now bombing Beirut and Hezbollah and Hamas and Iran sending ballistic missiles at Israel for the first time. This is distress between the nations. And the reason you and I don't feel distressed is because we're in harmony with him. But if I wasn't in harmony with him, if I wasn't saved today, if I wasn't a Christian in Christ, I would be extremely distressed by what's going on. If I didn't know that there's no nuclear missile going to land until the bride goes, according to prophecy, according to the message, I would worry when I look at Russia and see them with all of their nuclear weapons. The world still, these nations still have enough nuclear weapons to destroy the world 66 times over. That's how much they've cut them and cut them. They still have enough to destroy this world by fire 66 times over. And in the hands of madmen. Now, these are not rational people where you see their decisions and the things that they do. If it wasn't for the fact that we believe in modern events made clear by prophecy, our hearts also would be failing for fear. We'd also be worrying about the future, but it's the grace of God to us because he comes in a shalom and he says, all is well. Peace be still. And he says, he will hide his people away in a secret place and then the wrath will take over the world. And our trust is in that, but we see the sea roaring, he says, great storms and tidal waves and earthquakes in diverse places. And it's just getting more and more and more. These things are buzzes. They're flashing red lights. There's something inside of the soul of a person. If you're anything in tune, if you really sit down and you be quiet, something inside of you says, hey, right. It's later than you think. Amen. These things are getting somewhere. He says, these things are buzzes that set our hearts alarm, Lord, that we know to be ready. So it's something inside of you says, you just make sure you're ready. Because things are heading somewhere. And it's coming to a culminating point. It's coming to a climax. And we know that it's coming to a tribulation period. All of these things, these birth pains, are building up so that all these things will be shaken, so that there comes a kingdom that can never be shaken. The prophecy is, we don't know what minute or hour he might appear. So this is the climax of the ages. But the way the Lord does things in the climax is certain things are done in part, like birth pains. Things happen in part, and these things testify of things which come then in the fullness. Okay, so the prophet speaks about that. He says, I'll put this one here. Birth pains testify of the main event to the come. Now the birth pains isn't yet the birth, but the absolute infallible signs that a birth is coming. There's the main event coming. Amen. And as it gets closer and closer and more intense, you know that that event is coming near. Amen. And all of these birth pains down in our generation and building up, they all are testifying of something. Everything which happens in part, now we see storms striking in part. We see earthquakes shaking nations in part. But we know there's coming a time that there's going to be an earthquake under the seventh trumpet that's going to shake the nations of the earth, it says. And all of the cities will be shaken. You go and read under the seventh trumpet. At the end of the tribulation period. So all of these birth pains are testifying there's the big one to come. And when we see these storms and we see these tempests and we see nature now falling apart, things falling apart, it testifies of something that's coming upon the earth. And in that oncoming storm, he says at the beginning, he says, go and read Revelations 8 and Revelations 9 and see the oncoming storm that's coming upon this earth. And it's serious. If you go and read it, maybe if you're young, don't read it before you sleep because you won't sleep well. But sometimes it's good not to sleep well. Because if you read those things and they trouble your soul, it shows not all is well between you and the Lord. Because to a believer, we don't fear these things. Jesus said, when you see these things, look up, because your redemption is drawing near. You know, so these birth pains testify. Like, let me give an example. Jesus speaks in Matthew 24. He says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So when we see these amateur tribulations, the prophet says, the amateur tribulation under Hitler. He says, that was a tribulation to the Jews, but it was in part, it was in Europe. But here was a whole group of people that just because of what they believed, the whole system, the governments and everything united to destroy them without mercy. Now, that's something that happened in part in our generation. That was one of the birth pains. We know the First World War was the first time all the nations in the world have gone to war ever since the beginning of time. The first time that all the nations of the earth went to war was the Great War, they called. They called it the war to end all wars, but it didn't end all wars, because 20 years later, one thing they say, the study of history teaches you one thing. Man doesn't learn from the study of history. Man just repeats the same mistakes again. And 20 years after the great first birth pain, and he speaks about it in the message, birth pains, if you want to listen, the mustard gas, and people were fearful of what was going to come. Then came the second birth pain, the Second World War. And it wasn't just mustard gas and machine guns. Now it was atomic bombs being dropped in. And people said, yay, this is a bigger birth pain than the one that's gone before. But the First World War is the first woe. The Second World War is the second woe. But the Bible says, behold, the third woe cometh quickly. That's Armageddon, which is the end of all things. So each of these things that have happened in part and are growing in intensity show there's the mega one, the great one is coming. When Jesus says, there shall be great tribulation, that word means is megas. Big, exceeding, greatest, mighty. So all of these other things we see are building up for the greatest one. Yep. It's building up to a climax. And that's going to be the end of all things. Amen. Now there's still mercy in the midst of judgment, but then it's going to be no mercy when the judgment's poured out. Amen. That's what is poured out in part now is going to be poured out in its fullness. And these things are testifying of that. The prophet says it about that earthquake in Alaska in 1964, the second greatest, biggest earthquake in history. He says, God was warning by a world tremor what he will soon do on a greater scale. So these things are warnings in a measure of what he's going to do on a greater scale. That's a serious thing to think about. Take, for example, the horse riders. The pale horse rider, which is our age, which comes into its fullness in the tribulation. When Satan is cast out and gets onto the pale horse. The pale horse is nothing but a culmination of all that's gone before. The white horse, the red horse, the black horse, all that was in part before comes now all into one, comes into one horse. Take the white horse, deception, the Antichrist spirit. Now, there's been deceivers in the past, there's been deceivers through the ages, but now there's coming the mega deceiver, the beast himself. So all of the deception that's happened in part through history is going to culminate in the great deception when the whole world's going to worship the beast. The Bible says all men shall bow down and worship the beast, save them whose names are written in the book of life. So you can see all of these deceivers and these dictators and all these things from the past are all testifying that there's the great one to come. And like I said, all the amateur tribulations, the small ones are testifying, there's the great tribulation to come. You take your red horse, the wars of the past. Yeah, red is war. All the wars, like I say, First World War and Second World War, there's coming the final war. There's coming the great, the true great war. This is going to be the war to end all wars. Yes. Armageddon. God's going to destroy the nations of the earth and set up his kingdom and set up the millennium. So you can see everything that happens before is building up. The prophet says it's heaping up to the end. Everything that was before now comes in its fullness and is poured out at the end. Then it brings us to the sixth seal. These are portents that we're seeing now of the sixth seal. What is the sixth seal? It's the judgment seal. That's what it is. You go and listen to your sixth seal. It's the judgment seal. It's a serious thing, that one there. The prophet says, God has been doing great things, like healing the sick and opening the eyes of the blind and doing great work. So God's power in our generation has been working wonders. You look at the message. Look at the dead being raised, missing limbs being restored. God's power of redemption was manifesting and doing great things. But now it takes a turn, and God's power starts now manifesting in nature. And God's power starts manifesting in judgment. And we're living in that transition. We're living in the transition of from when his work is being poured out, his glory, his power in redemption, to when his power and his glory is used to judge now. And we're in the middle of that now. We're living in the time of mercy and judgment, but we see mercy is getting less and less. God's manifestation in the world globally is getting less and less and less, and you find his judgment signs are heaping up, becoming greater and greater and greater. And as it gets to this age, one of these days it's going to be the final point where there's no more mercy. Yes. And it's just fully judgment. And that's the great tribulation which we're getting into. And that's what these things are testifying of. The prophet says in the sixth seal, but we find out here that nature took a tumble. Amen. Yeah, all nature. You go and see the sixth seal. Nature goes crazy. It's like the Exodus. Yes, if you were living in Egypt, it was tough. Yes. Plagues and hail and storms and all the things that you visited. Wow, that's the time we're living in. The last Exodus, the great Exodus. And we see now the testimony in nature speaking of these things. Where are these things heading to? The fullness of nature in the tribulation is going to take a tumble. And the sun is going to go dark, and the moon is going to turn to blood, and the stars are going to fall, and all those kind of things. And there's going to be fully distress among the nations. What about the days of Noah? My, if you want to know an oncoming storm, when things heaped up to a climax, wow, that was divine wrath. And this was divine wrath visited in nature. It was just poured out without measure on the people. But God had made a preparation before. God had a spiritual weather prophet called Noah, and he warned the people for 120 years. And God had a provided way to escape that which was to come. But the people laughed and they mocked it. Ah, they were listening to their Taylor Swift and going to the football matches and playing around, playing their Minecraft and all, Roblox and all that, and forgetting about the fact that you have a soul. And that soul is buzzing and testifying now to say, hey, be careful. We don't know how much more longer we have, but we can see it building up to somewhere. And it was as it was in the days of Noah. Now we'll finish off with the scriptures the prophet uses in the sixth seal. Because we see these tempests, we see these storms, we see this wrath in a measure. But friends, this world is in the line of a great tempest. And it's not a natural tempest. It's the tempest of divine judgment. Amen. And if you listen to a sixth seal, the prophet uses these scriptures at the end. He says, we find out now, John said, I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake. All nature was interrupted. That's how when you see these interruptions of nature, saints, it's a serious, serious thing to think about. He takes Isaiah 13, verse 6. Howl ye, cry out. For the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. You look at these people destroyed because they didn't listen to the weather prophets. They were in their home sitting there, and as destruction just, and there was the end, and there was no escape. Imagine what's coming upon this earth. It says it shall come as a destruction. That means literally a devastating tempest. So divine judgment is going to be poured out without mercy. It's going to hit the world like a tempest. That's the oncoming storm the prophet was speaking about. Therefore, when that happens, shall all hands be faint. Every man's heart shall melt. Amen. That's when men's hearts are really going to be fainting for fear. Because they're going to realize they've crossed the line and there's no mercy anymore. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travails. Birth pains. It's going to be the same thing. He says, behold, the day of the Lord comes. Cruel. Wow. Both with wrath and fierce anger. To lay the land desolate. and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out.
Yay.
I don't know about you, but yeesh, when I read those kind of scriptures, because every scripture will be fulfilled. Not one jot and not one tittle will pass away. Heavens and earth will pass away, but not one word is going to fail to be fulfilled. The same one who prophesied perfectly that Jesus would come the first time, prophesied perfectly that he had come the second time in a time of trouble. And that's exactly what's going to happen. He says, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Nature takes a tumble big time. And in the end, people, they're going to be saying, global warming, global warming. And in the end, they realize this isn't just global warming. This is divine judgment. They're going to realize it. What are they going to do? They're going to run to the rocks and the mountains and say, hide us at the end of the sixth seal. The rich men and these big ones, Bill Gates and Elon Musk and all these guys who own all these news channels that pump out all these lies all the time. They're going to run to the mountains and say, hide us from the face of him that sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Well, he's still a lamb. It's still redemption. He's purging the earth, but it's the wrath of the Lamb. It's not redemption anymore. He's not healing the sick and raising the dead. It's the same power of God that was manifesting towards his people now manifests in judgment and is poured out in the tribulation period. And I'll punish the world for the evil and the wicked for the iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. Yeah. We came from monkeys. There's no God. We'll see. Let's see when they're running to the rocks and the mountains and here's the wrath of the Lamb and no man will be able to doubt that this is beyond just science. This is beyond just climate change. This is something divine in these things. This is divine wrath. That's where it's heading to. Now the prophet then to finish, he has one more scripture he uses at the end of the sixth seal. When the sun went dark and the moon was turned to blood, he says, this happened again another time. Is this when Christ was on the cross? Yeah. The Bible says there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And Jesus was saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So we see, when did nature take a tumble? Whenever God pours out his wrath, whenever judgment is poured out, you find nature goes crazy. When Jesus was on the cross, the earth shook, there were earthquakes. Nature took a tumble. It was because God was pouring out his judgment without mercy upon Christ. And that's why he was crying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, every one of us, as we close, is in one of these things. Is represented here. We're either now going to go into a tribulation and have wrath poured out without mercy, or we find ourselves hidden in Christ. Because God cannot judge us twice for the same thing. If we are represented in this judgment, then there's no judgment for us in the future. Yeah. If any man is in Christ, there's no condemnation. There's no judgment to him. So to us, that's why he takes his bride out of the way before he pours out his mercy. Because he's already poured out judgment on the bride when we were in Christ. He bore the judgment for us. And then when Jesus died, then the bride was taken from his side. So we don't have to go through these things. There's already a provided way of escape for these things. This is the final slide, and I really like this. I said, look, God even testifies. Grandmother's Bible survives Hurricane Helene after the storm destroys her house. It was the Lord. The storm, you go and see this video. The storm destroyed this house. And finally, a tree fell and just crushed the whole thing. And the only thing that wasn't touched was her Bible standing there on the stand. Friends, that's where you want to hide yourself away, is in the Word himself, in Christ. Because the storms will come, but you have a hiding place. There's a refuge from the storm. There's a secret place of the Most High. There's a place where you don't fear these things. We don't want to see these things happening. But when these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. So let's pray as we finish. Father, we do pray as we see these things, that Father, you would speak, let your voice speak loud in the midst of these things, because many people don't hear your word, and Father, you want to speak to them sometimes in other ways, to try to get them to consider their ways. So may you help us, Lord, we pray, and we thank you for grace, we thank you for mercy, we thank you for Jesus, who bore all of this tribulation for us, And Lord, our desire is just to hide ourselves deeper in you. So continue to bless now the service, we pray. Be with us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Let's give over to Brother Georgie.